Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we focus on our epistle lesson today as we turn our attention to the coronation of Jesus Christ, his ascension into heaven. Chapter 1 says, God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is a name, not only in this age, but the age to come. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and then 3 days later rose from the dead. And after appearing to his disciples for a period of 40 days, he ascended bodily into heaven before them to take his seat at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and now he rules victoriously at God's right hand. What I'd like to share with you today is talk about why the ascension is important. First of all, I want to talk about where it fits in to God's plan of salvation, the history of salvation, and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then talk about how today Jesus Christ continues to rule and reign in the world. So let's talk about the victory of the King. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And at his baptism, we had the anointing of the King. At his baptism, Jesus is anointed to be the prophet, the great high priest, and the king. And as our king, he spent the next 3 years doing intense battle with our enemy, the devil. From place to place, all over, Jesus engaged in battle with the devil and was victorious everywhere he went. He would be forgiving sins, healing the sick, casting out demons, and raising the dead. The sacrifice of the king took place on Good Friday. You see, the final battle was the battle of Mount Calvary. Jesus defeats the devil, not by destroying the devil, but by sacrificing himself, giving his life, dying on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. That battle culminates with the victory of the King on Easter Sunday. On that day, Jesus victoriously rises from the dead, and our greatest enemies, the devil, sin, and even death itself, are completely defeated. So we have the anointing of the King, his baptism, the sacrifice of the King, Good Friday. We have the victory of the King, which is Easter, which brings us to the day we are celebrating today, the coronation of the King, the ascension of Jesus Christ to his rightful place, his throne in heaven, at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. God raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. Jesus has ascended in glory to God's right hand. He is far above all rule, authority, power, dominion. And now in Jewish tradition, the rule, power, authority, and dominion were names and ranks of angels. So he has ascended higher than the angels and has put all things under his feet. And now Jesus has the name that is above every name. As Philippians 2 puts it, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is a comfort to know that the good and rightful King has taken his rightful place. And now he rules with all power and authority. That's what Jesus said right before he would ascend into heaven. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus Christ is King over all, King of kings and Lord of lords. But this is a good time to remember what he calls us. Remember what he said to us in John chapter 15 last week. Remember how Jesus referred to you and I last week in our gospel text. He didn't refer to us as his loyal subjects, or his workers, or his slaves, or his servants. John 15, verse 15 says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." Jesus Christ, who is your very best friend, who showed his love for you by dying for you on a cross, who loves you more than anyone in the world ever has or ever will. That same Jesus Christ, who is your very best friend, has now ascended to his throne, and he has been given all power and authority as he graciously rules all things. Now, we wait for the final chapter. We wait for the return of the King. And that's the fifth part. The return of the King, the second coming. The next great event in the history of salvation is the second coming of Jesus Christ. He will one day return in glory, and everyone will see his glorious return. After Jesus ascended into heaven, the two angels came to the apostles and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So right now, we are in between number 4, the coronation of Jesus, his ascension, and number 5, the return of the King, his second coming. That is where we are at in world history. And the question is, what is Jesus doing now? Is Jesus, after finishing his work of salvation on earth, taking a well-deserved break? No. No, the Bible tells us that Jesus is not taking a break. He is doing the exact opposite. In fact, he's just getting started. At the beginning of the book of Acts, Luke tells us that everything he wrote in his gospel was just the beginning of what Jesus was going to do. The book of Acts is a sequel to the gospel of Luke. And the first verse says this, "In my first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up." Notice what that says in Acts chapter 1. All that Jesus began to do and teach. In other words, he was just getting started. Acts is not about what the apostles did as much as it is what Jesus did through his church here on earth. Jesus is just getting started. So what is Jesus doing now? The short answer is Jesus is ruling and reigning as King over all. So what does that mean? Well, there are 3 kingdoms that Jesus rules over. The kingdom of power, the kingdom of grace, and the kingdom of glory. So let's talk about the reign of our King, Jesus Christ. First of all, number 1, he rules over the kingdom of power. The kingdom of power is the universe. Ephesians 1:22 says, "He has put all things under his feet." Jesus reigns over everything in the universe. God has put everything under his feet. Colossians 1 tells us, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Jesus is literally holding the universe together. And he does that by the power of his almighty word. That's what Hebrews 1 says. It says, "Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus is holding all things together as he reigns on high, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Now, sitting at the right hand of God does not refer to a physical location. It's not talking about where Jesus is, because Jesus is everywhere. He is God. He is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. Surely I am with you always to the close of the age. Sitting at the right hand of God does not refer to a physical location, but to his power and to his authority. We still talk about it today. We talk about, oh, that's his right-hand man, meaning somebody that that person can't possibly do without. Jesus has ascended to the ultimate position of power and authority in the universe, and he literally is holding the universe together. Nothing happens in this universe without Jesus being aware of it, and Jesus rules over all things. Jesus rules the kingdom of power, which is the universe, but he also rules another kingdom, and we call it the kingdom of grace. We also know it as the church. Not a particular denomination or particular congregation, but the church is all believers everywhere, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, Ephesians 1:22. Jesus reigns over his kingdom of grace, the church, and his will is that he would continue to expand his kingdom of grace through his rule, through his word, and through the work of his body, the church. The Lord sends out the members of his kingdom, you and me, the church, go and witness that more people might believe. Right before he ascends into heaven, he gives his mission to the church. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. There, Jesus tells us his mission, since all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He is at the right hand of God. He wants us to go and make disciples. How? Through word and sacrament. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe my word. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. He repeats that in Acts chapter 1, 2. Moments before his ascension, he gives these final words to his apostles. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Notice what Jesus promises to do for his church. First, he promises to give his church power, not just any power, but the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit himself comes to dwell with us and in us. And that Holy Spirit, he works through the means of grace, the Bible, baptism, and Holy Communion, to change and transform hearts and lives. Through word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit converts people and sanctifies our lives. He calls us to be his witnesses, to share the good news of salvation by grace through faith. That is the message we have the privilege of sharing right here at St. Matthew Lutheran Church, the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where do we share that message? Well, Jesus told his apostles to start close by. He gives them a series of concentric circles, starting with the innermost and expanding outward. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then expanding it to all Judea and Samaria, and then to the world. For us, I think we can take it to mean you will be my witnesses in Milan and in all the Quad Cities and in Illinois and Iowa, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus gives us a mission that will change this world, but we're not going to accomplish it by our own power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Through baptism, God gives us his Holy Spirit so that we might be his witnesses. And we're not doing this mission by ourselves. No, the Lord Jesus, he who reigns on high, is with us every step of the way. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Lord has given us this mission. And the goal and purpose of this mission is that by God's grace, more people might enter the third kingdom, the kingdom of glory, which is heaven. Three kingdoms that Jesus rules over. He rules over the kingdom of power, the universe. He rules over the kingdom of grace, the church. And he rules over the eternal kingdom of glory, which is heaven itself. Ephesians 1 says, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. God wants every person to experience this incredible hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That's what God wants for you and all people, to experience the riches of his glorious inheritance. We can't even imagine how wonderful heaven it is, how wonderful it is to be in the very presence of the King of glory. Now, some of our brothers and sisters have gone ahead of us, and they are experiencing the glory of the King right now. They know the joy of being in his presence. They know the joy of experiencing his love firsthand. They are right there before his very throne. And one day, by the grace of God and by the power of his Spirit, you and I will know that joy as well. The joy of being in the very throne room of Jesus Christ, who is King over all. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.